Will you join me in prayer for the opening message? Gracious God, open our hearts and minds to receive your message this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So earlier this week, I took part of a continuing education experience as I attended the Bishop School of Ministry. And yes, that does sound like something out of Harry Potter. I kept comparing it to the Hogwarts School of Wizardry and Witchcraft. I felt like that title was a little bit more impressive and cool. There were lessons in a banquet, but there weren't any sorting hats or Quidditch matches or brooms. So I was slightly disappointed, but I kept the joke running the entire time. And it was nice to see many of my friends and colleagues gather to have some great training on church security and sexual ethics. You know, light topics to discuss. And during our downtime, I asked a few of my buddies who preach on a regular basis what text they would be preaching on for Sunday, trying to get some ideas. And if they were going to preach the lectionary text, I asked, well, how are you preaching the mean Jesus text? I call it that because this text really got to me. I wrestled pretty hard with the dialogue between Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. And I guess it's rooted in my personal emotional memory bank of all the times I had been called names. And if I'm honest, it sort of makes me feel uncomfortable to see my Savior sort of insulting people. How many of us have had encounters where someone looks at us and sort of degrades us with their cutting tongues? It's bad enough to have strangers or even people you know call you names. But what do we do with a text where the Messiah insults someone else? And as I was getting ready to chuck out the scripture for something else completely different, there were two words that Jesus shared over the deaf man that really struck something within me. Jesus said, Ephatha, forgot the last syllable. Ephatha, meaning be opened. When considering those two words he used as he healed the deaf man and thinking about the encounter he had with a Syrophoenician woman, this idea came to me that all three parties, Jesus, the woman, and the man, had to be open to the unique experience they were in. They had to be vulnerable to each other and break down the barriers that surrounded them in order to really be open and to understand the power of God that was surrounding them and the mission that was before them. So let's take a look at these groups. Let's start with the woman. The Syrophoenician woman is not named in the text. So from now on, I may just refer to her as the woman because Syrophoenician is a difficult word to keep spitting out. The other details we receive at this point lets us know that this woman was an outsider and was willing to break down barriers. We know that she's female, Gentile, mother. She wasn't accompanied by a male relative, so when she approached a Jewish man by herself, it would have been a big cultural issue. In addition to that, she has a daughter who's possessed by a demon at home, meaning her daughter probably had to have been outcast from the society because of the demons that were possessing her. So this mother, hearing that Jesus was in town, sought him out to heal her daughter. And by doing so, she makes herself vulnerable. And she was open to the possibility that anything could come her way. And I mean, how many of you wouldn't go to any means possible to make sure that your child is healed? And she'd heard the news of this Jewish man that was capable of healing as the word spread around the Gentile territories. So she found out where he was and begged him to help her daughter. And then she got this response. Jesus said, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." This was the mean Jesus I was sort of referring to. Most of the other healings you hear, his message of go, your faith has healed you. But this response sounds as if she is being rejected. And scholars have debated the meaning of this text, but they have come to understand that the children Jesus referred to are the children or people of Israel. So then those who were outsiders, those who weren't of Israel, would get treated as dogs, while those of Israel would have this preferential treatment and served first. There's the insult. If this woman hadn't felt like an outsider before, she certainly did now. Then the mother, who was desperate for his help, countered back with her own argument She takes a step of faith and points out that even the dogs are allowed a place at the table to receive any sort of scrap they can get. This woman went head to head with Jesus and his argument and won. Her words point out that all of those who are in need of help, whether it be spiritual or physical, are still able to be present at the table. Whether they are invited as guests to sit or have to take whatever they can, like the dog waiting for someone to drop some crumbs. Her words remind us that the salvation offered at the table is also available to all. And because of her words and boldness, Jesus showed compassion towards her and told her that her daughter had already been healed. And the woman's willingness to open up and break down the barriers that could have prevented her from ever talking to him, and her boldness for standing up to him, allowed her to receive the healing that her daughter needed. So then from that moment, Mark takes us to another encounter that Jesus has with a Gentile, a man who was deaf and could not communicate, was brought to him for a laying on of hands. And in many of the healing stories, especially the ones where a person is being brought by others to Jesus, I always wondered why they convinced the person to go. I mean, there may have been some strangers who heard the stories of Jesus and just wanted to see if Jesus could do a cool trick. So they found someone and brought them to Jesus. Or as they heard the stories of Jesus' work, they could have had a name that popped into their minds of somebody within their community who needed that help. And so they worked to arrange to get that person to meet with Jesus. I've also wondered how that would happen. Especially I wondered about those who were not able to communicate. With a deaf man, how did they tell him that there was this healer in town and who he was and what he could do? That could have potentially put the deaf man in a vulnerable spot, as he would have to trust those who were seeking to help him. And he would have to trust Jesus himself. So the deaf man went and met Jesus. And we have this encounter. Albeit it's a bit weird if you mentally picture this experience. Jesus took the man off to the side and put his fingers in the guy's ears and on his tongue and spat. The children at the first service, when I told this story to them, made these faces and like, ew, that's gross. And it sort of is. How do we explain Jesus' behavior? I mean, Jesus didn't have to be with a woman's daughter to heal her from her possessors. He did it from far away. So why did he feel the need to stick his fingers in the guy's ears and spit and touch his tongue? His motive was not clear, but one could speculate that Jesus was trying to share with the deaf man what it was he was doing. It could have been a means of communicating and including him in the process so he would be comfortable and know what was going on. Jesus was creating an intimate yet awkward experience. The deaf man had to be open to this invitation his friends offered as they brought him to Christ. And he had to be open and vulnerable to trust this man to do this. Because the deaf man could not hear the words and probably wasn't sure even who this person was. But it was the care of others, the touch of Christ, and the healing power of God that forever opened up that man's life. So now let us look at Jesus. Jesus had been traveling and was now in Gentile territory. And Gentiles were those people who weren't Jewish, so it's possible to assume that Jesus was just looking for a place to hide away and rest after all that he had done. And who can blame him? He probably felt that Tyre, the Gentile area, was out of his jurisdiction so he could have a little moment of breath. And then this woman walks in, wanting a healing. Now the statement about the dogs can be taken into two ways. Either Jesus was using this cultural norm and expectation to set the woman up to deliver the punchline. Like he knew what others would expect out of the situation, yet he was going to create a teachable moment that would show how this woman's faith could compel him to be compassionate. Or he let his human nature get the best of him and allow the conventional teaching of that day to create a snarky response and ultimately learned a lesson from the woman. Mark doesn't treat us to what sort of tone he had, either it was stoic or sarcastic, so either can be open for interpretation. But what Mark does show is that Jesus has a compassionate heart. I would argue that even Jesus had to be open up to this experience, open to meet with the woman and the deaf man, open to breaking down the boundaries that would have prevented him from even meeting these people. He had to be open to God's power as Jesus worked to heal him. And just as the other two were open to their lives being changed, Jesus had to be open to letting this experience shape him as well. One of the commentaries I consulted talked about the miracle of the situation. They said the miracle wasn't necessarily the healing or the getting rid of the demons, but it says the miracle is the overturning of prejudice and boundaries that separate persons. In both of these cases, with the woman's daughter and with the deaf person, there are moments when Jesus is reaching through boundaries to restore them to their communities. He meets with the woman, breaking several of the boundaries that I mentioned earlier, and has given this daughter a second chance to enter into society and to live a life free of the demons that were tormenting her. And Jesus' act of placing his hands on the deaf man and spitting and touching his tongue broke any sort of kind of purity standards and probably a few health codes. But Jesus overlooked any of these boundaries and did the work of the mission. And by stepping over these boundaries, he illustrated a new, larger mission that all were included in God's kingdom. His acts here show that he was not only meant to serve the Jews, but that his healing, his message, and his love was available and offered to all who were in need of it. And there were some who were in need who were eager enough to seek it out, even if it meant going against the social norm, like the woman did. She knew that this man had something that she needed, and she actually fought for it to ensure her daughter's life would be changed. And there were some who had the support of others that would bring them to Christ, like the deaf man, unsure of what he was going to encounter, but leaving with a new life opened up, restored back into his community because he could now understand and communicate the great things that had been done. In these moments, Jesus' mission grew from reaching the Jews to reaching all those who needed to know the love and power of God. So what is our takeaway here? I think there are several, but the one that stands out to me is this idea of being opened. Ephatha is just a really neat word. In seminary, we were discussing this particular lesson in class. And later that night, my roommate and I were brushing our teeth in the dorm bathroom. She went to get a paper towel out of this automatic dispenser that really hadn't been working for months. So I walked over solemnly and a little bit sarcastically, if I'm honest, probably a little bit blasphemous, and said, "Ephatha." And sure enough, paper towels kept spitting out. She rolled her eyes, looked over at me, and said, "Don't let that go to your head." And I totally did. It's a great joke for the whole semester. I was using Ephatha everywhere. But on a more serious note, we also need to be open to many things as these three were. We need to be open to being bold in our faith as the Syrophoenician woman was. She knew that there was one who could help her daughter. So she went with faith that this healer would be able to help her. And as we approach the Lord with our prayers and needs, we too should remember to be just as bold and open as we approach the Lord, seeking what we need. We also need to be open to the idea of being vulnerable and asking for help. And if it is asking for help from the Lord or from a neighbor, we need to be willing and open to take the assistance given to us, just as the deaf man received. Sometimes I think we let our pride get in the way of allowing us to fully trust in the Lord, or even trust in those who are trying to reach out to us. So as we approach the Lord, we need to have the same sense of openness that allowed a deaf man to let another man stick his fingers in his ear to be healed. And we need to look at this story and have our hearts open so that we see the needs of the strangers around us. We may not have the healing capabilities of Christ, but we certainly have ways to help others in lending a hand. We have to be open to any encounters we may have with others. And rather than jumping to insults or a spirit of thinking that we are better than those around us, our hearts need to be open to hearing the voices of people who are different from us, to hearing the stories of hurt from those in pain, and from hearing the cries of those in need or of help. We need to have the same compassionate heart of Christ, who shrugged off the cultural norms and was open to a change of heart as he broke down the boundaries needed to share in this healing. So in studying these two moments, we should find our hearts and minds open to new things, open to the new encounters we can face with Christ, ready to meet him with boldness or with the vulnerability it will take as he sticks his finger in our ears, opens our ears and minds to understand what he has said before us. We need to find ourselves ready and open to having new encounters with those who may not think, act, or look like us, and open to breaking down those barriers. We need to be quicker to reach them rather than carry the insults that we may have. And we need to have the same open and loving heart that Christ has for all of his people, so that all may know that they have an open seat at the table. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we pray, we remember the words from an old hymn. Open our eyes so that we may see the glimpses of truth that you have for us. Open our ears that we may hear the voices of truth that you send clear. Open our mouths and let us bear tidings of mercy everywhere. Open our minds that we may read more of your love in word and deed. Open our eyes and illuminate us, Spirit divine. Amen.